Webcomic Pioneer. Biggest show we've ever done right now. Have you ever been called a webcomic pioneer, Kevin Church?
I've been called a webcomics person. I don't know if I've been called a pioneer because I was part of that second wave.
Yeah.
The guys like Scott Kurtz, the Penny Arcade guys, etc. They were like the first wave. Actually, Control Alt Delete, Sluggy Freelance. And when I started doing webcomics, it was literally because I'd done a couple of promo strips for Boom Studios back when they first started. And it was just one of those things where I was just lucky enough to get some traction. I've never had like a real breakout webcomic, but I've always had webcomics that have done pretty well with their audience.
Yeah,
good enough that when I've done print collections, they've sold, etc.
Yeah, it's funny because I was never into the webcomic mode myself. So when I first actually, the first work that you had done that I read was the Sam Kimimura story that you have out on the Comixology app.
Oh, okay.
So that was like, and I feel like I'm not alone in that, where there's like a bunch of our users that have no idea or maybe even desire to come to a webcomic. Maybe it's just not there for them. And I loved reading your first two chapters in like a completed fashion on my iPad. It's like widescreen, you know, it's almost like built for the iPad at that point. And
that's actually a happy accident. When I converted it to PDF and CBR just to see what it would look like. We were thinking of Sunday strips. We had the idea of like the Sunday newspaper strip in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens to be the size of an iPad.
It's great how that works. Like the widescreen format, I think now like we start to see more digital first, and I prefer that format. Like that Batman 66 format is like that. And it's like a dream to read. But it's funny that, you know, I eventually find out that, you know, this work had been done previously, and not only that, but you have a ton of webcomic work that you've done in the past that's kind of like completed or maybe on a hiatus or just kind of stopped for whatever reason. But it's a different mode of a book in Comixology Submit where, you know, it's already hit an audience and now it's finding a new audience.
With the webcomic stuff, I am going to be porting over more webcomic stuff through Submit if they'll take it. My Strip the Line with Paul Salvi, we just wrapped that up. And that's a good one volume or two split moderate price volume collection that's actually ends up being kind of magazine sized as far as the pages go, as far as their dimensions. So it will work really well in the vertical mode on an iPad or a similar reader. And there's a couple of other things that I'm actually looking at submitting a couple of digital first things through you guys.
Cool.
Because of how well She Died Terrebonne's been received. I'm working on a sci-fi comic with Sandra Lanz, who I did a romance comic with. It didn't really go anywhere, but I came up with an idea of how we can take those characters, do something new with them. And she seemed really into it, so I'm super hyped about that. And I'm also putting together a superhero comic with my friend Bruce McCorkindale as a one-shot. I like the idea of one, like Comixology Submit is really good for one-shots.
Yeah.
To give people a good dose. I think that's really lacking from the current comic shop experience now, is going even being able just to buy a random issue of something.
Mm-hmm.
Without it being, you know, a one-shot that kicks off the new Marvel event.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's really hard to go and go, I want to buy an Iron Man comic. And I think Kieran Gillen's doing a great job, but it's like really hard to like walk in, just buy an Iron Man comic. And that used to be a slot that was taken up by the DC animated books.
Yeah.
But they don't even do those anymore. And the Marvel Adventures did the same thing. But yeah, they just it's one of those things where Submit is really giving us the opportunity to reach a new audience and help the old audience find a way to show their support.
It's interesting, like the webcomic, that kind of merchandising model is tough because if you don't have just like a huge audience, maybe that like t-shirt merch, you know, I think that's like the majority of, you know, how webcomic guys like Scott Kurtz, like he has a great merch avenue, or if you want to buy the print volumes and you're going to see him at PAX.
Yeah, there's like Casey Green, I've noticed, is very good at t-shirts and stuff that are kind of niche-y. I think he does very well in books, and I think that Kickstarter has enabled a certain level of creator, if not actually make much of a profit from their books, to be able to at least justify the time they've spent on them. My friend Jordan has a Kickstarter right now. And she's, you know, she's not a big level comic creator, but she's got enough devoted fans that were like, yeah, I'll spend $10 on that.
Yeah.
Yellow Peril, Jamie Noguchi strip, which is one of those strips I always refer to. I've actually stopped reading it on the web because I enjoy reading it in book form so much. And he just did a Kickstarter that he just completed. There's that, but I think Submit is really going to be a great way for webcomic creators that are not actually able to justify the cost of printing a book.
Sure.
And creating a book to find a new audience, especially because Submit allows very easy trawling and kind of flipping through things. It's a very good way of casually browsing.
Absolutely. Now, how did you... The She Died in Terrebonne is like... you know, it's Norish, and then there's the detective character that is hired to find this female. And how did you? What were your inspirations? What things did you read, or what movies did you watch brought you to that?
I'm a big fan of Raymond Chandler and Philip Marlowe, and I'm a huge fan of the director Robert Altman. Robert Altman did a version of The Long Goodbye with Elliot Gould in the Philip Marlowe role. And that was a big inspiration for me because I love the idea of the detective who's just been doing it for a while. And a lot of the stories are not super huge. They're very small scale stories, but they have a big impact on the detective. You know, they're not stories where the world's in danger.
Yeah.
But there are stories where it's a family that's lost a child or somebody's gone missing with money. And I really wanted to create something that I'd not seen much of, Asian American man who isn't a superhero and isn't a spy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an ordinary guy. And
loves
it was funny. TJ and I just started talking and we like a lot of the same things, but we come at them from different angles and it works. But like the Marlowe, the Long Goodbye, which I keep on wanting to say The Big Goodbye, which was an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. And I don't even like Star Trek The Next Generation that much, but they just named an episode that, and it drives me up the wall. I'm a big fan of the Nikatsu Noir films from the Criterion. The Criterion Collection has them out now. Yeah. Movies like My Cult is My Passport. And Akira Kurosawa's High and Low. There's a bunch of different things. And what's interesting is we went very straight with She Died in Terrebonne. Our next story is actually set in the early 80s in Silicon Valley, Hard Drive to Hell.
That's a great title.
And, no, TJ came up with that name, and I just flipped out. I was like, you are a genius. And so... it's all about the software industry and a software mogul's gone missing in Silicon Valley. And we're taking a little more postmodern Bret Easton Ellis, Miami Vice sort of approach.
Oh, my God.
So what's going to be neat is I think Sam Kimimura as a character, and he's going to be aged and everything, but the different kind of stories we're going to tell are going to be set in the mode of the decade or the storytelling style that was kind of popular or getting popular at the time. Because, you know, if Lord, God bless him, if he makes it into the 90s, I want to do straight up cyberpunk hackers. I want him on a skateboard and I want him with goggles and
yeah.
I want him listening to Orbital and Underworld all the time.
Angelina Jolie cameo possibly in the background.
Yeah. But no, I love a good detective and mystery story, not because of the mystery itself, but because of the characters and everything. I just read a really great novel called The Steam Pig, and it's a murder mystery set in South Africa. And I figured out the mystery in the first 20 pages, but I didn't care. I really liked the setting and the characters and everything else. And I think that's what you need to bring to the table. Some people view mystery novels as, oh, I have to know how it ends. I think it's more important to look at why it ends, why it ends the way that it ends, why characters do the things they do. What's really great about noir in particular is a lot of times human elements do things that strict plot-oriented elements, ABC plotting, can't compensate for. Breaking Bad's a great example of this.
Yeah.
Because Breaking Bad, there are very poor decisions made by very smart people, but they are decisions that make complete sense to them at the time. and they sell those to the audience.
You know, when I knew this was going to be just a fantastic interview was when you said Terminator 3 wasn't that bad. I knew it was going to be magical.
I was watching it, and I was like, this was pilloried? This is a perfectly good – what I like about it is it hits the ground running.
Yeah.
And the Terminator fights are really excellent. Like, to this day, even the CG is not super great, but, like, Terminator fights are nasty. I do have the lead actor guy. He's just kind of there. Claire Danes is kind of reduced to screaming for the first two-thirds of the movie. But Arnold is great. I like that it's very much – it goes for it at the end. Like, it ends with nuclear Armageddon. And I – like, Dr. Strangelove does it, and this movie does it.
Good company.
And you know what? I'm going to put their parallels in my mind. Yeah. If you could end your movie with the end of the world, you're doing the right thing.
I remember when that movie came out, I think everybody had such low expectations that there was, like, nowhere to go but up. And I was like, so excited. I was like, I love Terminator 2, even that terrible animatronic – or that like clay scene where he does that role that's still in the movie and it's horrendous, but that I really enjoyed the heck out of it.
Terminator 2 I think stretches on a bit long. I made the mistake of recently rewatching it and starting it at midnight, and by like 2:30 in the morning I was like, this movie really needs to be over. So I need to watch it again when I'm more fully, because I'd watch Terminator and then, you know, midnight. And I'm like, you know what? I could do Terminator 2. And I was like, oh, my God. Because I got the Blu-ray set. Blu-ray set was on super sale. And I actually really like 80s, the 1980s form of action movie is something that I want to tackle it sometime.
Oh, God.
Because so I love movies like Commando. Commando makes no sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Jeff Webb's finest hour as a writer.
Just rewatched Tango and Cash.
Lethal Weapon. The first Lethal Weapon movie is a really good movie. I just love like that canon of filmmaking before they started with the computer graphics and the kids these days and the rap musics and the, you know what I'm saying? When you actually watch two guys fight on screen, you're like, these guys are actually going for it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's a classic era. But what do you, when you're not watching fantastic Terminator movies, what do you read in your free time? What do you seek out?
Actually, I've just been reading I've never read Mobile Suit Gundam or watched Mobile Suit Gundam before, but I've fallen completely head over heels over the Origin manga the Vertical's putting out. That's just, it's rocking my socks. It is remarkably easy to get into. It's kind of like the Star Trek reboot that Abrams did.
Mm.
You don't need to know anything about these people. You just need to know there's robots and fighting.
That's all you need.
And that's all you need. I've been rereading Jack Kirby's Commandy.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been talking to Max Riffner about a thing that we want to work on. And he mentioned that he's got this other thing. And he's like, it's kind of like Commandy. I was like, you know what I need to reread? Commandy. Because sometimes you just have to reread Commandy. I also just reread OMAC, and that was just a blast. I also just finished the Martial Law Definitive Collection that DC put out.
Hmm.
And every time someone says that Alan Moore or Grant Morrison hates superheroes, I want to introduce them to Martial Law.
Wow.
That is a book where Pat Mills, he makes the Avengers into mentally ill hospital patients and then has them die. He is a man who really hates the superhero idiom.
I'm going to track that down on Amazon tonight.
Oh, the thing is, it's one of those things that as much as I love Comixology, there are some things that read so much better in a book form, and that is one of them. But I do like manga through Comixology because the page formatting fits really well with the vertical orientation on my iPad.
Hmm.
And I'm also, I'm actually reading a really great book on the rise of the American warrior, which is about the militarization of our police forces, which is really cheerful,
as you can imagine.
Just talking about SWAT teams breaking into houses. But that's again for research on a project. And I just finished Going Clear, the book about Scientology,
which I was
blown away with, because you think you know what Scientology does, and then
man,
there's layers. Yeah, I read a lot.
Well, these are all great recommendations. I think this is one of my favorite questions, where you find out stuff that maybe is not on your radar, but now you want to read.
Well, I hope you read everything I tell you to read.
I'm taking.
I will send you a long email.
Extensive notes right now, all for my Amazon wish list.
Great.
But Kevin, I appreciate you coming on. I'm a big fan of She Died in Terrebonne. It was on. I think that was I made it my staff pick.
Yes, you did. Thank you so much.
I hope people check it out.
Keep picking my stuff for staff picks.
I'll see what I can do.
You just keep doing that. We're going to get along fine.
Thanks again, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Hello. Test. Hello. Test, test, 1, 2.